You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 2nd, 2021, and you just heard in the news at the top of the hour, the Washington Post is issuing a correction. 15 months after stating that Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, was peddling a debunked conspiracy theory about the origins of the coronavirus pandemic because he was saying it came from the Wuhan virology lab in China, the Post and all the rest of the at that time, mainstream media called him a liar and making it up, and it's all fake. Well, now the Washington Post is stepping forward and saying, we apologize. But yet it was just this last week. It was just this last weekend the Post revised a headline from 2020, which had Tom Cotton keeps repeating a coronavirus conspiracy theory that was already debunked. Accept the apology? You think it's sincere? In the meantime, Dr. Anthony Fake has some issues to deal with because a lot of his emails have been exposed through a Freedom of Information Act. And in one of them, Dr. Fake in an email to Sylvia Burwell, the president of American University, former U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary, Fauci said basically, mask wearing not really effective. He said masks are not really going to be effective. He was talking originally about the one you buy in the drugstore, but overall he said masks are really for infected people to prevent them from spreading infection to people who are not infected rather than protecting uninfected people. And in March 8, 2020, in a 60 Minutes interview, we do remember that Fauci said, he doesn't want us to, but he said there's no reason to be walking around with a mask. Maybe walking around with a mask might make you feel better. Might even block a droplet. But it's not the protection people think it is. So as these emails are coming forward and being revealed as to the contents, the communications between Dr. Fake and Chinese scientists and big tech companies, including Facebook Zuckerberg, Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, had just two words. Just two words about all these thousands of emails obtained through a Freedom of Information Act requested by the Washington Post and BuzzFeed. The two words in a tweet Senator Paul put out with a hashtag, Fire Fauci. The two words, told you. President Joe Biden yesterday in Tulsa speaking about how we need to come together and be more unified country, and then he turned right around and dropped a grenade in the middle of the room, basically asserting that terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat facing the U.S. You almost had us until you threw that in there. By the way, a new Rasmussen poll reports 39% of likely voters believe race relations have gotten worse since Joe Biden's election. That's 39%. 28% say they're the same, and 28% say they've improved. Pretty divided, wouldn't you think? The White House is acknowledging that a criminal organization likely based in Russia is behind the latest ransomware attack, this one going after JBS, one of our largest meat producers in the world. This, of course, coming just weeks after a ransomware shut down the Colonial Pipeline. JBS has said now that it's going to be online again very quickly. They're not saying if they have paid a ransom. Now, the issue about Russian-based cyber attacks targeting U.S. interests should be a prime issue when Putin meets with Biden. But a CIA Moscow station chief says all of this is Vladimir Putin's resurgent strategy, hitting various businesses with their hackers in advance of the meeting on purpose. Oh, by the way, Republican Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana officially announcing his 2022 reelection campaign, saying, I'll be good to you. I'll do everything you want. Your values will be my values. He said, I will not let you down. I'd rather drink weed killer. Anheuser-Busch teaming up with the White House. You heard President Biden a moment ago say you've got to get a vaccination. If you don't have it, you're more of a threat. So Anheuser-Busch is announcing beer on them July 4th. Get a shot. Have a beer. That's what they're suggesting. At the same time, in West Virginia, they're saying if you get a COVID-19 vaccine, you'll be in a drawing to win prizes, including $1 million, or maybe you'll just win a gun. I sure hope those getting the beer and the gun don't come together at the same time. Not a good idea.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I don't think there's any doubt that it was politicized early. You know, it was politicized early. I don't think there's any doubt that much of it was politicized because people wanted to criticize the Trump administration. I remember in the early days of this pandemic, Speaker of the House Pelosi going to Chinatown and saying in San Francisco, and us making it a point of saying, you know, I feel safe. Obviously, this didn't start in Chinatown, San Francisco. No one in San Francisco is responsible for this. No one ever said they were.
Yeah.
This is not about the anti-Chinese people. They're the first victims of this pandemic.
That is Senator Mark Rubio, Republican, Florida, appearing on Fox Radio talking about the issue of there's no doubt that politics has been involved in this COVID story from the beginning. And he pointed out the case that we often have referred to, and there was Nancy Pelosi just days after Trump had shut down flights from China. And they were calling him xenophobic. He didn't like yellow people. And he's going to encourage Asian hate and attacks on Asians. And there was Nancy in the middle of Chinatown saying, come have lunch with me. It's all safe here. It's good. It wasn't too long after that that then they began to criticize Trump for not shutting down the flight soon enough. Yes, we had politics involved at every level. Yes, even in the White House. You cannot deny that. But when it came to those we're supposed to trust, how much were we kind of being misled then? Now, there's the issue between those who had an agenda, and that was not to tell us the truth necessarily about COVID, but to find a way to dishonor, destroy Donald Trump so there'd be no way he could win re-election. It was a perfect storm. Fear of people going out, locked down in their homes. We got to have more mail-in ballots. And a lot of people said they had a ballot sent to their house and said that that's not who lives here now. Those people have gone for a long time, and others, who knows how many ballots they got. It just was a perfect storm. Am I saying all of that led to Trump losing? I am not. I'm just saying it opened the door for more fraud, period. But the election's over. I'm not going to deal with that point again. But COVID is still here, and the lies and the misleading continue because big tech has been deeply involved from the very beginning on helping it cover up. I'm going to give you some details. All of this is now coming out as thousands of emails have been opened up through a Freedom of Information Act filed by The Washington Post and BuzzFeed News. And we're beginning to get a good look at these. One of them, as it's written in the Washington Post, which, as I said, filed that for that those emails, begins as pointing out, and I'm going to read from it, as the coronavirus pandemic engulfed the world last spring, Science magazine quoted a top Chinese health official saying that the U.S. and other Western nations were making a big mistake by not telling people to mask up. Science magazine stands by its reporting. But the official, George Jael, worried that the comment might upset his longtime friend, Anthony S. Fauci, Washington's leading expert on infectious diseases. So amid the deepening crisis, Jael reached out to clear the air. And again, he's a top Chinese health official. His email... He's the director, in fact, of the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention. He wrote to Fauci in a March 28 email, "I saw the science interview. How could I say such a word, big mistake, about others? That was journalist wording. Hope you understand." In other words, I want to make good friends with you again. Another researcher tied to Wuhan lab thanking Dr. Fauci for dismissing in the beginning the lab leak theory. Just flat out and came in one of the emails they had, flat out and saying, "Dr. Fauci, because you dismissed a possible leak as a reason as to, and it came from our lab, that you were quickly to do that." That was Peter Daszak, the president of the EcoHealth Alliance. Sent Fauci an email April 18th thanking him for steering the public toward the natural bat-to-human theory. He said, "I just want to say a personal thank you on behalf of our staff, publicly standing up stating scientific evidence supports a natural origin for COVID-19. Not a lab release from the Wuhan Institute." So against that backdrop, former State Department investigator David Asher was on Fox News asking him, "Do you trust these scientists at all anymore?
Can you trust these scientists?" I don't trust these scientists right now. I trust our national lab scientists. I trust our Army scientists. I don't trust these paid in the pocket by Chinese scientists.
And there's the key. A lot of them paid in the pocket Chinese scientists. The one I just quoted you, praising Dr. Fauci for helping support that it was not a lab leak. And the other one apologizing if any wording that he had in an article upset Dr. Fauci. And again, that was George Jael, who was director of the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention. We also had to keep in mind that these emails are something like 866 pages of Fauci emails. And they're obviously the Post and BuzzFeed have all of them in hand, and some are coming out now, and some will probably come out later. But there's no doubt that Fauci obviously was serving Trump at the time, supposedly, Trump and the nation. Now serving under Biden as the seventh president, he's done so. He's helping craft Biden's pandemic strategy, but just recently had to acknowledge, it could have come from the lab. 180 degrees from what they were doing at that time. Fauci, at one point, in another letter from his friend Gowell, said, I saw some news, parentheses, hope it's fake, that you are being attacked by some people. Hope you're well under an irrational situation. Fauci replied, thank you for your kind note. All is well, despite some crazy people in the world. That's because some people are saying you're ignoring science. You tell us to follow science, and you're not. And in fact, because of those threats from crazy people, Fauci was assigned a full-time security detail. But in the midst of the emails, obviously, we still have COVID spreading throughout the nation, folks dying, and Fauci and his cohorts, working closely together. And when I say cohorts, I'm talking about even big tech. Big tech stepping in. Big tech behind the scene, sending word to Fauci about some ideas they have, what they want to do. That included Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook saying, I got an idea that we're going to do. We're going to launch this. We're going to put up something that says for real COVID facts. And we're going to put just the facts up there, and maybe it would help add to it if you would do an interview for us or do your own statement, whatever you would like. We'll make it work for you so we can get the real story to the American public, not the fact or the storyline we're being given by Senator Cotton and others that it came from a lab. Dodge said, that sounds great. So, yeah, they were all working together. And that's another thing Senator Rubio's pointing out, that big tech was basically involved in manipulating the message. But the other question was communist China also influencing big tech, such as Facebook, to again control the flow of information?
Yeah, absolutely it is. And that's a narrative, you know, they continue to push now. I mean, last week they were out there saying, well, maybe it was the Army, the U.S. Army's experiments at their labs that created this. And, you know, that's their counter narrative to the silliness that they come up with. Look, I think we have to accept that that's already happening. There isn't a single movie studio in Hollywood that can produce a Chinese movie. I mean, a movie with a Chinese communist government bad guy in it. You can't do it because it won't be distributed in China.
Yeah, we talked about that before, haven't we? That movie makers have to bow down to whatever China wants. If the enemy was going to be a Chinese assailant, it has to be changed if you want that to show in China. You just have to find someone else to blame. And in fact, probably no one that even has Asian appearance. As in China. But again, one of these emails that Fauci had came from Mark Zuckerberg, as I was saying a moment ago, Facebook founder, CEO. In the early months, he was sending an email to Dr. Fauci praising him for his leadership and telling him, hey, we're going to have this rollout of information. And we'll push authoritative information, and having you on board doing something, well, that would be great. He said, quote, people trust and want to hear from our experts rather than just a bunch of agencies and political leaders. And he didn't add it, but you might as well put behind political leaders Donald Trump. And he sent this to Fauci saying, this isn't public yet, but we're going to build a coronavirus information hub. We're going to put the top of Facebook for everyone. I'd like to include a video of you. Let me know what you want to do. And, of course, Fauci got into it quickly, saying, I accept your terrific invitation. Sure, why not? Did he get paid? Did you ask me, did he get paid? Is somebody out there asking, did Fauci get paid for that? I have not seen anything indicating that so far. And also Senator Rubio, I want to go back to him again because what was at play when they say follow the science? They mean follow the science we tell you is the science. Here's Rubio again.
I don't think there's any doubt that it was politicized early. You know, it was politicized early. I don't think there's any doubt that much of it was politicized because people wanted to criticize the Trump administration. I remember in the early days of this pandemic, Speaker of the House Pelosi going to Chinatown and saying in San Francisco and making it a point of saying, you know, I feel safe. Obviously, this didn't start in Chinatown, San Francisco. No one in San Francisco is responsible for this. No one ever said they were.
Yeah.
This is not about the anti-Chinese people. They're the first victims of this pandemic. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that they're the first victims of the Chinese Communist Party. They're the ones that have suffered the most at the hands of the Chinese Communist Party. But I think there was an early effort to sort of say, oh, this is all about your effort to deflect attention. And so now you have people out there sort of saying, well, maybe what the Trump and administration was saying did happen. You know, now they feel okay in saying it a year later, but they didn't want to say it last year because they wanted anything that bad that happened to be squarely on the shoulders of the Trump administration.
And they did it, didn't they? And they've continued until just recently. What changed? Trump is gone. Biden's in office. And they finally had to acknowledge the facts they gave us are 180 degrees from what are the true facts. This Russian hacking, how much more of this are we going to see? And is Biden going to demand Putin do something about it? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So we're told by the White House that combating ransomware is a priority for the Biden administration. That Biden has already launched a rapid strategic review to address the increased threat of ransomware. And of course, we just had another hit. The latest, shutting down the U.S.-based meat plants of the world's largest meat packer, Brazil-based JBS. Targeting our food supply, that follows, of course, the target of our fuel supply, the Colonial Pipeline, previously. And a former CIA Moscow station chief says all of this is Vladimir Putin's resurgence strategy. He said he has to tear down our democracy because it's a threat to them. All this, he said, is leading up to that June 16 summit when Biden and Putin will sit down together. Keep in mind, this attack on the JBS, the major meat supplier of the U.S., coming just weeks after that fuel pipeline, the Colonial, got shut down. In the meantime, Putin is putting tens of thousands of troops on the Ukraine border. And the Biden administration still not condemning Putin after the Colonial pipeline and stressing, well, in fact, Biden himself said May 13, and I'm quoting, "We do not believe, I emphasize, we do not believe the Russian government was involved in this attack. But we do have strong reason to believe that criminals who did the attack are living in Russia." Riddle me this. How close do you put that analogy and that statement to the fact that when Fauci was questioned by Senator John Kennedy the other day, that he was relying on the Chinese scientists and that I don't believe the Chinese Communist Party was telling them what to do or what to say, or I don't really know if they would. I don't understand those workings. You know and I know. I mean, you don't have to be a political wizard, even geopolitics or any kind of look at politics. You know that the Chinese Communist government controls what its scientists say or else. And you really believe that Putin would not be aware of these cyber attacks launched from his country? I mean, if they really are that clueless, would Russia, would Putin be worried that maybe some of his information might be hacked? The Rebecca Kofler, a former Defense Information Agency intel officer for Russia, has a new book coming out, Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America. And she said the use of criminal gangs is a common tactic by the Kremlin. They do it to maintain plausible deniability, which is what we're getting right now. Even using mercenaries in Ukraine and Syria. Putin, she said, is trying to signal to President Biden, I'm in a much stronger position ahead of this summit. Biden has already given a big give, has agreed to allow that pipeline between Russia and Germany continue. Biden saying, well, it's already so far along, I mean, we shouldn't really stop it. We might upset our European friends. And yet at the same time, he had no trouble, no concerns, no issues whatsoever, shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline and dropping jobs left and right. I want to know, and I think you should demand to know as well, what is Biden doing about all these ransomware things? Now, again, JBL, the meat supplier, I should say JBS, says we're getting everything straightened out. We're gonna get back. They're not commenting on how widespread it is. They're not even saying we were pushed to pay a ransom. But apparently they're getting back online. I would think, yeah, they probably paid some money. Coming up, should girls compete only against girls, or can transgender boys jump into that sport? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable. But we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around on their 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed. And at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So my view was throughout this whole time, we have to protect our girls. It is discriminatory to force them to compete against biological males. And so if the price of having a tournament is that I have to deny equal opportunity to hundreds of thousands of young girl and women athletes throughout Florida, I am much more willing to stand with the girls and to hell with these events.
Those are the words of Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Yesterday, he signed the Fairness in Women's Sports Act into law and saying that in our state, we're going to be committed to protecting girls and women from the left's efforts to allow biological males who identify as women to compete against biological females. So Florida is now the eighth state to pass laws restricting sports participation to assign birth gender, not gender identity. I'm thinking how far we have come and how distorted we have become with all this stuff in our face on a constant basis. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about how a young female had all kinds of honors coming her way for getting a scholarship at a prestigious college. Full ride, sports and academic. And she got that, of course, because she could be among the best in her field that she participated in, her sport. And many young women have that kind of opportunity. And they're out there trying to do that. That might be the only way some of those young women get to college. And when I say that, I want you to stop and think for a moment that there might well be many minority women of whatever color you want to consider minority. Their parents just cannot do it. They've got to have a scholarship. And maybe their academics are okay, but they're not that solid. They're not going to get an academic scholarship, but maybe they can get a scholarship in field hockey or track and field, something of that nature. And they're doing well. They're racking up. They are making strides. They are doing well. They work hard. They put in long hours starting early in the morning, then going to school and resuming it late in the day, trying to get their homework in and everything. They are working their best to be the best they can be to get that scholarship, because that's their opportunity. And here out of the blue comes another participant, born biologically male, and either by his, and I'm going to use the word his, you can start shouting, oh, no, you're not using the right pronoun. Forget it. I'm not going to be worried about it. I'm worried about the ultimate reaction in fact. So here comes this biological born boy, and he has decided or been pushed or encouraged or thought it just for a lark to be called transgender and start some procedures along that way, and he can now compete in girls' sports. Cannot even make the varsity team on the boys' team, but he can get into the girls' team and, in fact, end up winning medals and honors and scholarships that those young women are denied. I raised two girls, actually three. And I will tell you this, I mean, I wanted them to have every opportunity that any guy would have. Now, we never faced on either one of them that kind of situation. But I think about the parents of those kids that are facing it now and the girls themselves. So when Ron DeSantis stands up and says, this is what we're going to do in this state, he got threatened. We've already seen that kind of thing. We saw it in Georgia with the MLB pulling out because the Georgia election law. These corporations, they make these threats because they think they have power, and you're going to have to do what we say. Here's the line. You don't cross it, or we pull everything out. Be it reference sports, be it an economic boom that might hit your community, but we're going to go elsewhere because you're not following the rules that we say you should. And DeSantis talked about that as well. He talked about the threats that he saw from the NCAA, not only for his legislature and what he was facing, but elsewhere across the nation.
I remember the NCAA put out a statement saying, any state that enacts this, we're not going to hold events there. And so I called the Speaker of the House in Florida, and I said, did you hear what they said? And he's like, yeah. I said, we definitely got to get this done. You can't be cowed by these organizations, or particularly by woke corporations, from doing the right thing. And so my view was, throughout this whole time, we have to protect our girls. It is discriminatory to force them to compete against biological males.
Yeah, how about that turn? You fight against discrimination, you say, and yet you're the first one to discriminate. It's back to perception. It's back to definition. Unity doesn't really mean unity to them. Unity means uniformity. Inclusiveness does not really mean inclusiveness. It means exclusiveness if you're not going to be what we say you should be. And threats from the NCAA and corporations. Shilana Soule is an activist for women's rights on the playing field. I'm sure you've heard of her before. She lost opportunities as a high school track athlete in Connecticut when she was forced to compete against biological men. In 2017, Connecticut began allowing two male athletes who self-identify as girls to compete in girls' sports. And here's a perfect example of what I was describing earlier. She said, during all 4 years of high school, I was forced to compete against them. Even they were bigger, stronger, and faster than me because they were male. She said, in just 3 years, the two of them won 15 women's championship titles, 17 new individual meet records, records which we girls had no hope of breaking. Saying, I remember what it was like to line up for the race, get into the blocks, already knowing the outcome long before the race started. Those two biological males would dominate the field, leaving us girls to compete for third place and beyond. No matter how hard we tried, how hard we pushed ourselves, they beat us time and time again. We elite female athletes don't give up a normal high school experience just for participation trophies. We race to win. And she adds this. This isn't about self-expression. It's about our right, a woman's right, to win. She said, I've lost countless opportunities over the past few years. I lost opportunities to compete on world-class tracks, opportunities to win titles. During my junior year, I denied a chance to compete the national, or rather the regional, New England Championships. I had missed advancing the next level competition in the 55-meter dash by just two spots. Two spots taken up by biological males. So she and some of her fellow female players filed a lawsuit with the Alliance Defending Freedom against the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference. So she praises what Governor DeSantis has done. And I like the way DeSantis is brushing aside anyone who wants to say, we will penalize you. We will make you pay in a way that you and your state won't like. It's not going to be pretty. I mean, this is flat out, it's extortion. There's no other word for it. It's extortion. A threat. DeSantis, appearing on Tucker Carlson last night, he had an answer for those threats, that extortion.
The price of having a tournament is that I have to deny equal opportunity to hundreds of thousands of young girl and women athletes throughout Florida. I am much more willing to stand with the girls, and to hell with these events.
I love it. To hell with these events. We're not even going to bother. You don't want to bring your event here? That's fine. That's your loss, not ours. Some of you pro sports teams want to pull out? Go ahead. And where are those who were always pushing for more female rights, and that, as Rush Limbaugh used to call them, feminazis, but then even short of that, I mean, not just Gloria Steinem, but others that were saying that women's rights, I am woman, hear me roar, remember all of those? You don't hear those now. They don't dare speak out. I go back to this young woman who was sharing the story a moment ago about what she has had to compete against and always losing out. She said, we just want fairness for countless young girls and women in a sport they love. And then we've got relations with China. Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we have the push underway that biological males can compete in girls' sports because we're going to be inclusive for everyone. And we're against all discrimination. And we're against systemic racism, as we call it. Riddle me this. How do NBA players justify what they're doing with China? And in fact, a U.S. Congressional Committee on China issued a letter urging the same NBA players to end their endorsements of sportswear companies using materials manufactured in Chinese slave labor camps. They're referring to various companies that have shoes, jerseys, other sportswear that are manufactured using cotton from a province of China, an area notorious for massive camps. Inmates served as forced laborers. That would be slavery to make the products and farm the cotton. Even a Democrat, Senator Merkley, Democrat of Oregon, signing on to this, as did Congressman Jim McGovern, Democrat, saying players have continued to sign new deals with these sports groups. We believe that commercial relations with companies that source cotton in that area create reputational risk for NBA players and then the NBA itself. Adding that the NBA and NBA players should not even explicitly be endorsing such horrific human rights abuses. I don't know the names of all the NBA players that have such deals, but we already know the NBA has been doing everything it can to expand in China, creating some of these campuses. Word coming out of there that they're really horrendous conditions. And kids that aren't making the cut or trying to make the cut go under severe penalties and punishment. And the NBA is a part and parcel of it because they want to be in China. And when I hear the NBA and many of the players shout for indiscrimination and certainly in slavery, obviously, and in systemic racism, I agree if it exists. Here it is in China, and they fold. In the meantime, CNNNN has its own issues, which I don't think it's ever going to be resolved, but it's a fun game to play. You want to play with me? Here we go. The Society of Professional Journalists calling for an internal investigation. The Society of Professional Journalists, you can look into it and find out what it is, how really professional it is. I haven't looked at the membership, but I'm just going to share this with you. They believe, yes, they do need to have an internal investigation about CNNN and Chris Cuomo, and he and the network need to account for their behavior. That, of course, being referenced that Chris Cuomo, coming to his brother's defense, New York Governor Cuomo, defending his response during the coronavirus, and also talking to him about these allegations from women of sexual harassment and so forth, advising him how to handle that as well. And anytime he had him on his air, he never raised a serious question with him. University of Nevada, Las Vegas ethics professor, former NPR ombudsman, is taking a harder line, saying maybe Cuomo should be fired. She said, look what happened to Brian Williams, the former NBC Nightly News anchor, removed after admitting he exaggerated stories about coming under enemy fire in Iraq. She says he was anchor of a prestigious nightly TV news show, and because of something happened years before, he lost that perch. Now he's back with the company, serving as the NBC chief breaking news anchor. And remember that in his case, it wasn't just a foggy memory. Maybe I got something wrong. That would be understandable. But know what he said, not once but repeatedly, that he was in a war zone and the helicopter he was in got hit by a rocket-propelled grenade or something like that. It never happened. Well, if you're going to start, if you really want to get into such questions and issues like this, you need to go to the very top. Zucker. Maybe Zucker should also be held accountable. Zucker, of course, heading up CNN. You think that will happen? Right. We have, as I call them now, the state-controlled media. They're going to continue to do whatever is necessary to carry out the storyline that now our government, controlled by Democrats, wants to be told and nothing else. And, of course, they would tell you that we're all doing our best to be factual. I suddenly remembered, you remember Hillary Clinton going into Bosnia with her daughter Chelsea at the time when Bill was president? And she talked about it. We had to duck and run. We were under fire. And the video showed her calmly coming out, taking flowers from a little girl. Don't let the facts interfere with the narrative. Don't let the facts interfere with a good story. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.